And I said how the church is a three-story building. The foundation is the perfect love of our Heavenly Father for us. And as the Holy Spirit shows us that God is a loving Father. And we need to be established in that. And there must never be a time when we doubt that. When we have messed up our life, when we have sinned terribly, when we've gone completely astray, God doesn't change. He's a loving Father. Not a grandfather. There's a lot of difference. I remember the difference that happened to me when I changed from father to grandfather. I was very strict with my children and used the rod where necessary in love. But I've never done it on my grandchildren, never once. I remember when, after our first grandson was born and I went back to Bangalore, some of the brothers there who knew how strict I was with my children said, "Zach, what are you going to do when your son picks up your grandson and is going to spank him?" I said, "I think I'll go for a walk." Because I can't see it. I would do it myself, I couldn't see it. And I'd come back and then I'd see my little grandson crying and wanting to sit on my lap. And I'd keep him on my lap and I'll tell him, "You know, what your daddy did for you was good for you." I haven't changed my mind. I still believe it. I wouldn't do it myself because I'm not a father, I'm a grandfather. And that's what I told my brothers and sisters back in Bangalore. I said, "That proves to you God is not a grandfather. He won't let you go. He'll spank you. Grandfathers don't spank. God is not a grandfather. When you go astray, He'll use the rod on you. That's a sign that He's a father. And if God is disciplining you by financial difficulties or sickness or any such thing, thank Him that He's a father who's interested in making you holy. And don't ever complain against Him." I followed that principle whenever some calamity has hit me or I'm down in bed with some sickness and I say, "Lord, why is that? It's not your perfect will, it's your permissive will. Why have you put me in bed now with this sickness?" And the Lord points out something in the previous week where I got a little puffed up. I said, "Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you for that spanking. Thank you for disciplining me because it proves to me you're still my father. You haven't forsaken me. You haven't just let me go into the world into the hands of the devil. You see me go one degree off track when He gives me a spanking." That's what I said to the Lord. "Lord, don't wait till I've gone 45 degrees and 90 degrees off track. Please, no. When I've gone one degree away from that straight line, give me a spanking. I want to follow You wholeheartedly. I'm not perfect. I'm like a little child, even now. And I say, Lord, I'll never say that I don't need Your discipline. I thank You, You're not a grandfather." Have a relationship with God, your Father, like that. It'll change your life. And if you have grumbled against the way God's dealt with you, well, you say, "Okay, I won't trouble you anymore. Live as you like." Everything that happens, even when my children were sick, I'd say, "Lord, I'm going to seek You. There's nothing that happens to me or my family or my children which God is not in control over." And it's a tremendous testimony to the devil when there are problems, when I have financial difficulties, and my wife and I have gone through that because when I quit my job in the Navy, I took up all my savings and gave it to the Lord's work. And I said, "Lord, I'm going to start serving You with zero in my bank account." That's how I started. And the Lord's taken care of me 60 years and He never lets us down. I can tell you, I can testify to you. I believe at the end of our lives, every one of us must have one testimony. "I tried my best to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness first. not perfectly, but I tried my best to do it perfectly. And today, at the end of my life, whether you live to 100, you must be able to say, I can testify that God took care of me. Just like he said, seek God's kingdom first, and all that is needed will be added to you without your running after it. Look at the rat race there is in the world where people are running after this, running after that. I've never done that. Well, I didn't become the richest man in the world, but God provided all my needs. That's the important thing. And it's a tremendous testimony. You can testify at the end of your life, I did not go after money. I did not go after honor. I sought God's kingdom first. I put him first in every area of my life. And I can testify today that God's provided all my needs. He's taken care of me. He's taken care of my children. And in whatever circumstance, and if some difficult circumstance came, he turned it for good. Yeah. God doesn't say that he'll protect us from all trials. No. He didn't. The early Christians, I used to get my children to read the biographies of these early Christians, how they were, and the stories about them, how they were persecuted and killed, and sometimes a mother, young mother, would have the child taken away because she's a Christian, and she'd be willing to do that. The father was an unconverted person, take away the child, and the mother would be sent to prison. There are wonderful stories of martyrs which you must read. And we must teach our children how the early Christians suffered for their faith and never gave up. I know it encouraged me tremendously, and I wanted all my children to know that Christianity was not always comfortable for the early people. They couldn't come like this to church on Sunday and sing. They were running for their lives. They had to hide in caves. Yeah. So it's good for our children to know those stories. I hope you're telling them that from early childhood, what it means to be a true Christian. And that will stop us from grumbling and complaining when some little thing goes wrong, or we have a little shortage of money. I believe we are, if you don't do that, you'll raise a brood of children who are pampered and spoilt. With any little problem comes, they bang the table and they complain, and they say, all these things are not available on my breakfast table. Well, I say, you go to some poor countries in the world, there's hardly anything on that breakfast table. They're thankful for just a little bit of rice that they can have. We need to teach our children this. Otherwise, I tell you, the world's getting worse and worse, and you lose your children. And don't wait till they've gone away from the Lord at the age of 18 and then say, oh God, please bring them back. You've got to start when they're one year old. So, and the foundation is God's perfect love as a father, and on that foundation we build the first story, or the first floor, as you call it here, which is our personal walk with God with a clear conscience. As soon as we slip up, we ask God to forgive us. If we've hurt somebody, we ask immediate forgiveness. We have to build that first floor, the first story, strong. And the way to build it is strong is by keeping our conscience clear. When Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, he said it at a time when there were no Bibles around. For 1400 years after Christ, nobody had a printed Bible. Printing was not discovered. So what did it mean, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God? Jesus wasn't referring to a Bible there. Nobody had a Bible. And very few people had access to these scrolls or parchment, which were only available in the synagogues, of what was written in the Old Testament. Nobody could afford to buy one. Far too expensive. But then what did that mean? I meditated on that for a long time, and I discovered, how does God speak to every man? Through his conscience. So primarily, when it says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, not that proceeded 2,000 years ago, proceeds, present tense, present continuous, that proceeding continuously from God, where is that? It's in your conscience. Every man, you don't need a Bible, you can be illiterate, The conscience tells you, it's the voice of God, man shall not live by food alone, but by every word that proceeds from God's mouth, in your conscience telling you that was wrong. What you signed there in your office was a lie. Take it back. Cancel that document. You get a little more money, but you ruin your soul. And bring up your children in God, fear of God. Punish that child for what he did wrong. Don't let him speak rudely to you, to his mother. Little things. God speaks to you. What do you do about it? Listen to his voice. So God speaks to you and says, that was a dirty thought. That's a wrong attitude you have towards that person. That person did wrong to you, but you have to forgive him. Like I forgave you. You've done a wrong. The Lord says, you've done a lot of wrong to me, haven't you? And I forgive all of that. Well, if people do wrong to you, forgive them. And that's the voice of God. You will not live by your breakfast alone, but by the voice of God in your conscience. That is the first floor of the church. And if you don't build that, you can never build the church. I'll tell you that. And I want to tell you in Jesus' name that every single person sitting here, God wants to use you to build the church somewhere.